Yeah, thank you. Well, we're all here. It's 5:30. I would like to call to order the Johnson County Hospital District meeting of August 23rd in the Lake Angeline Conference Room. And would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the prior month.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the last month's meeting.
Hold a second.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Dr. Rice is not here this evening.
She said, just text me. She's going to be a little bit late. She's going to take her daughter up from Boston. She joined us.
Oh, very good. We'll bring her back into the agenda. Well, Mary, share your leadership with us.
Everything's going well. We're going to move in soon.
Looking forward to that.
She says that.
Fourth month in a row, Mary.
But staffing is looking great. We just finished our next 6-week schedule, and it's really looking well, which is nice. We have two out on maternity leave now. One comes back the end of next schedule, and one goes out on the next schedule, and then we have one more that I know of in February. It'll be a revolving door. But other than that, everything's going well. Any questions?
What do you mean by pharmacy has had a little time off this summer?
Well, she's been able to take a few vacations. We have some locums that come on in, and which is nice. Okay. But everything's going well with pharmacy, too. Been able to get all the drugs we need. We're looking at the next flu and COVID cycle, so that'll be our next big deal.
A mild one, we hope.
Yes.
Any other questions for Mary?
And I mean, I say that because it's hard for her to get time off because she does have to get somebody in. She can't just be gone at a day.
Well, she could.
Yeah, she could. Yeah.
She's kind of important. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mary. Mm-hmm. Miranda, I'm not going to skip you this month.
It's okay. I don't have anything additional past what I've been on my report either. Unless you guys have questions.
I was struck by 316 seen in the same day clinic. Is that like remarkable to me? No.
Our acute care is busy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
And you'll see on there the resident's been here. This is his last week. It's been really nice to have him. He just takes it all. He'll see anything. Somebody walks in and he'll see it. So it's been really awesome to have him.
It's helping me have an opening in 2 years.
Yeah.
You never know.
You know, that's what I called them.
Were our sports nights comparative to last year's?
Yes. And last year we only did two of them, and we had 60-some on one night and 40-some on the other. So they're a little bit more spread out, which was helpful for our staff. Everybody kind of walks through the door at 5, even though we put on our flyer 5:30. Everybody starts lining up super early, so it was nice to kind of scatter that through 3 nights. But yeah, our numbers were up with our sports schools.
Any questions? Thank you, Miranda. Brenda, I see you brought some media.
Well, as you know, we're doing the culture change thing, and an opportunity arose the other day. One of the nurses heard the dietary aide asking one of the residents, are you going to have Mavis's soup today? And she said, what's this all about? So apparently, I don't even know how this got started, but they had a recipe from one of the residents that they made and served to all the residents at dinner. And this nurse took it upon herself to make this one of the culture change things we can do is being well known, where the residents feel like we know them. So what she did was write up a little story about her and posted this with the recipe. So if anybody wants the recipe for cheeseburger soup for Mavis Lund, I'm the person to see. We have two, I think, pretty definite admissions coming. They're both in other facilities right now, and one of them apparently has some kind of a contract where they have to give a 30-day notice before they leave the facility, which I've never heard of, but that's all right. We've had some referrals, actually, from other states, a couple other states, Idaho and South Dakota, where it's really difficult to place residents where we're not equipped either. I mean, clearly they can't find anybody in their own state to take them, and it's just sad. There's sometimes it's really difficult for hospitals to send people places because we're cautious about who we can take. I still think if we had, there's a couple more we could get if only we could lock our upstairs doors, which is such a frustration because we should be able to take care of people that wander. But the risk of them opening the door and falling down the stairs is very real. That's all I have.
Is there a possibility of locking those doors?
It was actually the state government was okay with it. It was the federal government that came on a survey and said absolutely not. Now, possibly, if that guy no longer works there, we could possibly someone else
would that,
make it go for it.
Would that be different if we moved to like the badge system we're doing over in the hospital?
I don't know.
That might be worth looking into.
Yeah.
So, because it'd be nicer. Like, anyway, I know we had that emergency where the ER kind of responded, or the hospital nursing staff had to respond to something on the second floor, and nobody knew the code to get up. So it'd be easier for staff in the hospital to respond like that and use the badge system.
Yeah, right now our options are we could call it a memory care unit. However, anybody that isn't on the floor because of memory care would have to demonstrate that they could punch the code and get out. And I don't know what else I was going to say.
Memory care.
Yeah.
We better work on that.
Clearly, I can feel a bit right now. And the other option is not doing that. Yeah, memory care has its whole own set of rules and regulations and separate activities and things like that. So. But yeah, we have to be able to take more people than just the type of people that would need to be in a lock unit.
Could you elaborate on your second bullet there on the CNA thing? I mean, how it's you're happy? I mean, training, hiring, so what's going on?
You want me to explain to you why I'm happy?
I get that part of it, but that's interesting. I mean, I haven't seen this in a while.
We have had, and I don't know why, we have had more people coming in applying to BCNAs, and a couple of them, like we hired one today that was from New York, and she just responded to, I called her, she had been on Indeed, and she is going to be amazing. And so some of them are out-of-staters. We had actually an employee here, her sister moved here from another state and started working there. She was already a CNA. Some of them want to be nurses, and we're starting to get so many new ones that we really don't have any well-trained old ones to train in, so that's my biggest concern now. Yeah, trying to get, because what happens is if you're not well-trained, you're training the next person, and nobody's well-trained. So we're working on we have one of them that we consider kind of a mentor that has really good skills that I'm trying to see if she can kind of jump to different shifts and help out these new ones.
It's encouraging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Any other questions for Brenda? Well, I did have Mavis's cheeseburger soup in the cafeteria.
Did they make it over here, too?
Yeah, it was quite good. So.
Good to know.
I hope it comes around again.
Did they post this?
No, I just heard them say.
Oh.
Try Mavis's recipe.
I want a copy.
Well, Lori?
I don't really have anything to add other than our new lab manager started, Erin Frazier, and I think she's going to be really good. She seems to fit in well, and and looking at ways to maybe like spread the shifts over a little more to decrease the amount of hours that are on call. And she's looking at a lot of different things to hopefully make them happier.
But I will say, considering how much they're on call and work, they're a very happy group of girls.
Oh, no, I agree. Nice. I mean, I don't.
No, I know you don't mean that bad. I just want to say that, because they're on call a lot. They do awesome.
Yeah, well, they're trying to decrease that. So.
Yeah, good.
Erin had a lot of great ideas when she came in here. Kudos. Yeah. Excited for her to be able to get here and help figure out how to take some of that burden off. So.
I never asked this question before. Like on this, on the green red deal, you know, it's like first quarter 2023. Is that calendar year or is it? On
no, it's just how late they come back.
Oh, okay.
You know, it just takes a long time to get that stuff back.
But
so
first,
that's January, February,
or
March.
Okay.
Calendar.
Yeah.
January, February, or March.
Oh, yeah.
Calendar.
So we'll be hitting second quarter soon or something.
Well, I hope so.
Because that was all I'm done.
Moving at the speed of government.
Yeah, it takes about 9 months, maybe 6 to 9 months before we get the other ones. Well, they have, since they do it in a 3 month thing, they have to send them out, you know, at the end of, so the second quarter to the end of June, and they have to wait for people to respond back. And if they don't respond back right away, they send them a second one. So I don't know for sure how long that wait is.
Well, unfortunately, in the comments section, food is the major issue that comes up.
But, you know, I think that a lot of that was before they made a lot of changes. Because, you know, that was in January, February, and March. And then they've made a lot of changes, especially with now they can order their own breakfast, what they want.
That all happened
after that thing, after that. And they've made a lot of changes to the food, so I'm hoping that's going to improve.
That's the hard part about the survey is the data can be so far back that
it doesn't really reflect what's happening.
Yeah, remember the changes that have been implemented.
I wonder if that's a common complaint at every hospital, just because it's an easy thing to for people to
when you don't feel well, nothing tastes good anyway.
I feel like our survey results came back as late as we do with this survey company. I don't know how that.
Like, do all patients complain about food everywhere?
Yeah.
Probably.
I bet it's probably one of the things that they complain about the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, when people are used to choosing, you know, making what they want, and I mean, everyone has different preferences. When you come here, and the options are limited.
Listen to the low sodium or the no sugar too.
Yeah.
Somebody might be a little mad. Uh-huh.
All liquid.
Yeah, I think I complained about the food.
Well, any other questions for Lori? Hearing none, we'll move on to our CEO report.
So they started demoing the rest of the inpatient bathrooms this week in kind of preparation of the material coming in, so trying to get as much of that work done to shorten the amount of lead time it takes to get those put back in service. So, and then I heard earlier this week that it was about a 3 week lead time for that material to come in. So, hopefully, you know, I don't know how long by the time they actually get it all put together after that material comes in, but and at least we are kind of nearing the end. I feel like this is the first time we really stuff's been ordered, so it seems. I don't want to get too excited, but it seems like there's possibilities there that we're inching closer to. I don't know how many of you have peeked over at the parking lot, but it's come a long ways in the last couple weeks. They got all the curbing poured and sidewalk poured, and we're scheduled for asphalt on Friday. So hopefully middle of September, they said it should be all striped and ready for to be driven on and parked. Actually putting it back into service. So with all the rain we've got, I'm pretty shocked that we're ahead of schedule, because we've had days where it was like a mud puddle out there. So that part's exciting. And then they've been painting in the clinic, so that's really starting to come along. Hopefully cabinets will be delivered here in a couple of weeks. The therapy clinic, they, I don't know if you saw coming in, they've been getting brick on the outside, and then they'll shift and do EFIS for both the clinic and therapy space. But they were hanging sheetrock in the therapy clinic over the last 2 weeks, and so starting to really see a lot of progress take place in those spaces, which is exciting to see things really move with where the inpatient seems like it's just kind of been a standstill for so long. So exciting to kind of hopefully have something to check off from a construction standpoint or something. Lori talked about Aaron starting. I feel like we've been doing a lot of interviews over the last month, a lot of interviews, a lot of resumes for the CFO position, for the director of quality, director of operations. So we've had two candidates do on-site interviews for the CFO. We had another good application come in earlier this week, so we're going to try to get a call scheduled with them as well. And then we have two people for both the quality and operations positions that we're getting scheduled for on-site through the month of September. So next month will be about every week, I think we have one or two people that are going to be on-site doing interviews for. Same with the OR manager position. We're working on getting something scheduled to have them on-site, have a couple on-site interviews for the OR manager position as well. In early September. So one of the things that we talked about several months ago was we had worked with the Nebraska Hospital Association to join their consortium. There's some rebates and stuff we're able to get back through IT, through our IT spend, through some federal programs. And so I just got word today, so I haven't even been able to tell Lori because I got it after she was out. So we're going to get back $416,000 through that program, which is like quite a bit more than we thought. And then after we pay our fees, we'll actually pocket about $312,000 after we pay the company that's, you know, helped file it and all the, do the compliance side of it. So I think, like, in general, I think it's, you know, two and a half times what we originally thought. I was hoping we'd get about $100,000 back. So it's definitely exciting to have that kind of increase. And I think we were able to file for like multiple years, so ongoing, I don't know if it's going to quite be that much, but when that gets finalized, we should be able to ask more questions on what kind of our ongoing program should be. Dale's been working hard over the last month on rolling out a leadership development program for our managers. I think that's one of the things that, you know, we've had a lot of people that have kind of grown up in the organization and not really had a lot of leadership training, and so I'm really excited to be able to roll this out and kind of lean on Dale's background and some of the things he's done in the past to help really kind of elevate and give our managers the tools and upcoming leaders in our organization that, you know, some increased tools on, you know, having difficult conversations, you know, how to lead projects and different things that he has. And he's got a really good agenda laid out for the next year. So excited for that. I think he had 16 people interested, and I can't remember the exact number he said he had back. It was close to 11, wasn't it?
I thought he said 11, yeah.
Yeah, that he's received applications back for. So I think we're going to cap it at 12, but there's several people that this year isn't going to work for them, but they're excited for next year. And so hopefully this can kind of be an ongoing thing, and we can really help to, you know, give leaders in the organization more tools. And then one of the things we talked about last week was, or last month, was that we had a IT hack that took place. And so we actually met with Digitech earlier this morning to go over kind of a assessment of, you know, the tools that we have in place to stop cyber attacks. And so they came out with a kind of a recommended list. We're still kind of waiting for them to polish that up and get us a report and some analysis on cost. So we'll keep you in the loop moving forward. And there's some simple things like mandating passwords, be certain links, and things like that, that we can put in place without really increasing a lot of cost. But they said that in this year that cyber attacks for hospitals and government facilities is up 78%. So So it's definitely something we need to stay on top of. I know, you know, with Gillette getting hacked a couple, 3 years ago or something like that, it really is a huge, there's huge cost to the organization, and there's a, you know, just the workflow issues that come with it. So it's one of those things I think we don't want to necessarily get cheap on putting those things in place. So as we get those recommendations and costs, we'll be kind of bringing those to you guys for maybe approval for some increased tools. I don't think there was a whole lot, though, Lori.
I thought when you went through that, we did really well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a few things.
So that was, you know, good news, and maybe some additional websites will be kind of tying in, or blocking down and things like that. So one of the things that we had kind of talked about last month is looking at mission, vision, and values. Dr. Schuler let me know earlier this month that he's going to be traveling on the 13th when we're scheduled to do it. And so maybe at the end we can try to get some increased dates, whether we can either bump it back or a couple other days, and we can try to get that scheduled this week. I think it'd be good for people to be able to be on site and not doing it through a phone call. It's, I think, one of those things we don't want to take lightheartedly, and, you know, I think it's an important thing and something that if we're going to be really sharing that with the organization as a whole, that we want to put the time and effort into that. So, and then we had Mark Lyons on site the end of last week looking at some of the bad debt write-offs. I know Becky's kind of talked about that a little bit. It's just an ongoing issue, making sure that we're really building the processes in place for Mark, and to make sure we're staying on top and not continuing to build this stuff in the future. And then the last thing I thought would be good to talk about with Becky leaving, the way we've handled kind of our credit cards in the past is, you know, we don't really have a corporate credit card account, and so we've applied for credit cards for individuals in the organization, but it's not the easiest to manage. And there's, I think, a couple other positions that would probably be beneficial. So currently we have Lori has a credit card, marketing has a credit card, and Becky had a credit card, but with some travel and, you know, doing like interview meals and things like that, I think it'd be nice to kind of expand some of that with some parameters in place. So I guess all I'm asking for this month is to talk to the bank about what options they have available. Travis and I had a conversation earlier this month earlier today, on some options. And so just would like to kind of explore what that could look like. My last hospital was pretty easy to deactivate and put on a new card because it was in kind of a corporate structure. And so I could, you know, if somebody left, I could deactivate their credit card in 30 seconds. You know, it's just super easy to log on and make those changes. And so if we look at kind of expanding it, you know, even to three or four more cards, I think it makes sense to kind of look at a different approach to how we handle that. So unless anyone's opposed to that. So that's all I really have for today.
It's probably purely transactional, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's just, don't carry a balance.
Yeah.
It's to get business.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the way we've kind of handled it in the past and why we'd like to expand it is just created a lot of busy work, mostly for Lori, because she kind of handles it and handles a spreadsheet.
I was just going to say, when I started doing it, it was because we didn't order very hardly anything on the credit card. You know, so we needed a credit card. So Sammy didn't want Allison to do it because she was the one that was doing the ordering, and there wasn't a lot of, you know, oversight on that. But it's changed so much in the world, and so many things are just credit card anymore. In so many places, you can't get anything.
So I think, I mean, I have experience with it. I talked to Tim today. He's got experience in it. So we'll just put together policies in place so we have, you know, accountability to it, to the program. And I think that's the big thing. It's not really like we're looking at increasing spend or anything, but simplicity of use and making it just easier and not trying to burden Lori with as much.
Well, I'm going to be leaving in 6 months, so they've got to do something.
Hey, Luke, that cyber event, and maybe you can't talk about it, but probably we didn't have a breach, huh? Because we probably wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, so we talked about it a little bit last month, but it was very limited in scope. They didn't get access to data. So I think the measures we had in place work, which is a good thing, right? It's better to talk about, you know, the near miss than it is, you know, the catastrophic event. But in saying that, you know, there's been a couple of things that we've put in place since I got here, whether it's like blocking Facebook. Some of those things have just been like standard of, you know, care or standard, you know, the standard practice everywhere else I've been, that those things have kind of been locked down. And so I wanted to really, since we had a couple of those things that have popped up that I'm like, wait, why has this not been in place already? I wanted to do a larger kind of picture of what we maybe are missing so we could try to make sure we're locked down as well as we could. So there's a couple more things, like from social media. I think right now Facebook's the only thing we have locked down, so we're going to increase the scope of that. And different things like that. So, but it's nice working with a company like Digitech. They do this in a broad range of industry, and you know they have a lot of expertise to bring to the table. So,
well, I would just, and I don't know if we'll need to look at policies or procedures like internal emails. And yeah. I mean, I've been reading that it's going to get worse, much worse before it gets better, because it's artificial intelligence now. It's like, When they get access to the system, they can reproduce your email, look like you, send an email, and it's possibly even your voice. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're up against.
And that's kind of what they were talking about too. Is like they can, there's things out there now where they can put something on somebody's phone where it like is recording kind of in the background, and then with like 92% to 96% accuracy, it can judge keystrokes. And so, like, for people putting passwords in and things like that, it can reproduce those in a really speedy manner. So some of the things, you know, in the budget we had approved, using a password store called Improvata. And so things like that, I think, are going to be really helpful for us moving forward to make sure we can, you know, really lock things down. And then it's just getting the education and accountability out there to make sure people are using those tools.
Secret handshake, maybe?
Yep.
Any other questions for Lou?
I don't have a question, but we want to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
You got that on Facebook, right?
No, someone text me.
Yeah, it wasn't today.
I don't think you're on Facebook, are you?
What?
You're not on Facebook, are you? Your wife is. Oh, you are.
Did they decorate his office?
Yeah, I helped.
Yeah. I had to tear half of it down just to get to my desk.
Yeah. You should have seen us. We have to crawl under to get in.
Well, Dr. Rice, thank you for joining us.
Sorry I'm late. I relayed to Luke. My husband's out of town this week, and volleyball practice is at 5:30, and just trying to be all the places at once. I apologize. So. I don't feel like I really have anything significant to share for med staff this month. I would say the only thing, we met as a group yesterday, and we're trying to kind of share some feedback on how our hospitalist scheduling is going. I think we all agree that we really like the hospitalist schedule as far as providing better care for our patients and also for balance in our lives, too. We're still trying to kind of decide how we prefer that schedule to be. We switched this year to a 7-day rotation, so whoever is on as the hospitalist is on that shift for a full 7 days. There's pros and cons to that. And one of the things that we're struggling with is trying to off balance, you know, being out of the clinic for longer stretches during that time, and that's kind of a little difficult. And so we're still just kind of getting feedback from each other and trying to figure out how we can make that best for everybody. So, I think everything, you know, different, everybody's kind of had a little bit of time here and there over the summer, which has been good. It's been busy, but I think everyone seems like they're in pretty good spirits in handling things. We expect, we have quite a few obstetric cases due coming in September and October, so we're kind of trying to buckle up and get ready for that.
When does our new position start?
Dr. Crossman will join us in October.
Is he going to try to change everything?
Dr. Crossman? I don't think so. I think his intention is to try and come in, at least from this practice model, I think he's going to kind of step into the same responsibilities that Dr. Pizzales has right now. And, you know, we really enjoyed working with him last year, and I think he liked the way we do things. It was part of why he was motivated to come back. So we're excited to have him here.
I think that really jumped us up his list, is he really wanted to come and do a full spectrum medicine. That was kind of his goal, and I think we're rare in our ability to continue to offer that. There's not a lot of hospitals that do that anymore. A lot of them are, you know hospitalist programs that are designated hospitalists that just do that work, and people just in clinic and people just in ER, and so there's not as many places out there that kind of like do the full spectrum.
We're a dying breed.
Well, moving right along.
I was going to say, too, that we have a couple students, and we typically always have some students here, and we have a third-year student, but we also have Mason Furley was with us this last year as a third-year, and he's back doing a fourth-year rotation with Dr. Ruby right now, and he's from Sheridan. Be an amazing catch if we could get him to be interested in staying here someday.
He's got family here, right?
Yeah,
his brother
Buffalo and Sheridan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's one of the best students that I've ever worked with. He's really remarkable.
Yeah. Super personal.
Yeah, he's pretty remarkable. So if you see Mason, give him a welcome back.
Yeah, we have a lot of students in right now. There's a PA student that started Monday. Mason's here, and Darnell's got a student.
And he has a resident.
And a student.
That's true. He does have both.
Yeah, so it's been busy. There's a lot of people in the clinic.
There are.
So.
Has the emergency room been busy? Or?
I think so. I mean,
yes.
I think it's always busy. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm not going to give you numbers. I
would say our average daily is 11 or 12, which is good. I mean, that keeps us busy.
Yeah.
We had a 21-day this summer, which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, about 7.5 would be an average 24-hour. So it is busier in the summer. It averages out.
Well, I don't know if all of you saw it. I know Dr. Rice probably won't toot her own horn, but that was an amazing article written about Dr. Rice and the amazing work she did at the rodeo down in Cheyenne. So she represented us very well.
And she got all around cowgirl.
Yeah.
It's been a while, right? The coolest thing of the whole article is actually the I got to speak to that young man and his wife last week. They called me and I got to visit with them, and he's doing really well, so it's been pretty awesome.
Well, thanks for coming in. You don't have to stay for the rest of the day.
I'm probably going to run because, I mean, I know you'll love to hear all this. I'm going to go get a pig butcher.
I need a sandwich.
I might
take some sandwiches.
Yeah, there's some sandwiches.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Well, we have some financial information to go over, and then the audit, but you want to do financial first?
Yeah.
Got such a nice screen there, you know.
I got this from Tim right before this, so I don't have it nice and put together for it to go on the screen. But we can just go over it real quick. I think one of the big things to just talk about is the CPSI software is kind of gimmicky, and so... Tim wanted me to kind of present this as a rough draft. We're still kind of working through some of the glitches. And so I think when he's here for another month, I think we'll definitely get through it. It's been the first 2 weeks were definitely kind of a learning process, not just with the accounting side of things, but getting familiarized with the organizations that the managers get stats from. And so it's kind of been a learning process. He also had knee surgery this month and is out till the start of September, but then we'll be back with us. He had some prior commitments that he had made prior to agreeing to come up and be an interim for us. And so, I think he's been a kind of a great asset for us. The staff and the team really have learned a lot from him in these, 2 weeks here. And it's great to have somebody be able to step in and help us, not just kind of flounder until we get somebody in, especially with everything going on with audit and cost of corp rep and all that stuff. So there's a lot of kind of moving parts in that finance world right now. But we had a pretty good month. It's hard to, 1 month is 1 month, and it's hard to, fully compare. Showing a $102,000 loss for the month of July. Revenue is up over budget, $113,000. And total adjustments were up $27,000. So percentage-wise, I think that kind of falls in line with where we normally see. The new, contractual model that we got from Casey Peterson, I think is really going to help kind of stabilize our contractuals and give us a much more accurate net patient revenue number, which is the number that really makes a big difference in the long run. So I think that kind of, I don't have a whole lot of things to call out. There's not as much that he's kind of showing. There is, I just got these, right before the board meeting, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to review it. He did send over, finally was able to get produced the income statement and the balance sheet for July as well. We had some issues with the 2022 audit and some of the year-end changes that he wasn't quite as familiar with getting some of those things closed to get the income statement produced accurately till earlier today. So does anybody have any, I know it's pretty vague and brief, but does anybody have any questions on it?
Well, it looks like a great month until you get to non-operating. And
yeah.
Somehow we're way low.
Yeah, I think there's some things that, we probably, maybe some stuff didn't get booked or things like that. So,
It's in a grant. I'm sorry. There's a big negative $237,000 for this grant, non-operating grant. I don't know. Page two.
I don't. So we've talked through that. There was, and I thought that was supposed to be coming up. So there, that's not actually valid. That was supposed to be reversed off. So Tim and I had talked through that, and that entry must not have taken place. So what happened, there was a reversing entry made, and I don't know at what time it got put in, but it hit in July. And so some of the ARPA funds that we had done, the phase 3, phase 4 ARPA funds, when we recognized that revenue from deferred revenue into grant funds, there was a reversing entry that hit in July. So that actually, 237, isn't a valid negative in there. That should actually come out. So that puts us in the positive way.
Exactly.
So
the budget was 237. Positive, and then we got the two sets, so it's something weird.
Yeah.
So our,
maybe it'll look better. Maybe it'll look better.
I think, I think when we get our year end dates next month, we'll definitely see a much better number there. So
our current cash position's in the $4 million something range.
Yeah.
And memory from the past was that was kind of a point at which we didn't want to go below, just in terms of days cash on hand. So we're ready to start using the financing that we have until
yeah.
other things like the grant.
Yeah, and we've been using some of that. Our last couple draws have come through the loan. That's one of the things that Tim's really talked about in his time here, is just really making sure that we're in a safe position from a cash standpoint. So I've reached out for some of the grants that we have received, trying to do draws on those. And so they've had to go back and forth, mostly with how the projects, we didn't apply for the entire project, we applied for a portion of the project. And so as we talked through how we submit on that, they said that there are certain things they had to run by their supervisor who was out on vacation. And so hopefully next week we'll be able to kind of get some clarification there and get additional funds in through that. So we have, you know, the 1.6 and over $800,000 was from the inpatient space. So we should really be able to draw, you know, all of that down with where the inpatient space is now and what we spent there. The clinic side, you know, maybe half, somewhere in there, and that was an additional $700,000. So we have quite a bit there that hopefully in the next month, a few months, we'll be able to have that cash coming in. And then the ERC, the tax credit stuff that we have, I was following up on that earlier this week as well. And so the company we're going and running everything through was still doing, it was still kind of caught in their processing and review wing. But, you know, that's going to be like in the $1.3 million range. So I think right around the corner, we have quite a bit of cash coming in. So I'm not, if we didn't have any of that going on, I think I'd be a little bit more concerned about cash. But, you know, with those two things, you know, right there, we have close to $3 million that we're anticipating coming in. And then you add the news from today about another $300,000. So I think we, you know, from a cash flow standpoint, we, you know, have quite a few things that are pending coming in the next quarter. So. So it gives us quite a bit of flexibility. It should give us quite a bit of flexibility.
It looks like it's not showing our county tax money either.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, there's some increased.
Well, that must be automatic, isn't it? That monthly mill levy thing come in. Does it come in every single month? Like
it no, varies, but it does. Varies. Something comes every month. Yeah. But it can fluctuate based on
what comes in from there.
Yeah.
Well, any other questions for Luke / CFO? All right, our next item for the evening is to approve our 2022 audit. There's a letter from Doman, Ackerland, and Eddie, the firm that we've hired. And they sent us enough material that it'd take a little while to get through it.
So I don't really have anything to add when it comes to this. I mean, they did the big presentation. There was a little bit of cleanup language that they had kind of talked about as they went through the audit. So this is just the final product through text review. So nothing material changed from the discussion we had with Kurt last month. So,
can you rehash what we changed since last month's meeting? Was it anything of substance that
in the audit report?
Yeah.
There was nothing substantial. There was just you know, some small language things, that some typos and things like that. Mostly is what they clean up. So.
And the most challenging part of our audit has to do with handling bad debt and how we account for that and carried it for longer than what's customary in the academic world.
Yeah, I think there's you know, quite a few small things. That was, you know, obviously the big piece. Anytime you go with a new audit firm, they're going to come in kind of with a pretty fine-tooth comb and really dig through as they're trying to get to know the organization as a whole. And so, you know, there's quite a few things. That's why we had to, you know, work with Casey Peterson to go back and clean up the previous year's audit, which, you know, really kind of delayed the whole 2022 audit finalization. You know, but contractuals was kind of a huge component of that. And I think, I mean, it's that piece that is, you know, really healthcare specific. There were some other governmental accounting, you know, standard language that was, you know, kind of adjusted and changed from what you guys had normally seen in the past as well. But, you know, understanding those contractual adjustments and the allowances that you have in your balance sheet is really a huge reason why it made sense for us to go with the firm that really understands the healthcare industry. Because it's pretty substantial, you know. I think we had like almost $1 million swing there in that, you know, allowance. And so, I mean, that's meaningful for really anybody, especially for an organization.
And the bulk of that looked like bad debt. That was a third of it right there.
Yeah.
There's actually 20 items on this page 5, page 4 of all of that. So total assets went from about $48 million to about $47 million or something like that.
Yeah.
49 to 48. Well, it should be a smoother situation next go around.
Should be much easier. You know, they understand us quite a bit better at this point in time. Having the contractual model that we're using now should bring a lot more kind of clarity to that. The shifts, I mean, there's been a lot of work in the background, so, and a lot of people that have put in a lot of time to kind of get some of this stuff cleaned up. But, you know, I think all those changes are going to allow us to kind of have a little bit more accurate financial statements moving forward.
Well, having had 48 minutes to review the material while the meeting progressed, does anyone feel that they would want more time to look at it before approving the audit?
Can you remind me, like, are we required to send this to the state or something, or just have it on file?
I think we'll have to send it to the state.
That's what
I
wanted.
Yeah. So we had to file an extension with the state for kind of delay. So.
They started on 2023.
Yeah, they're working on getting our work papers together, and so there's been you know, some letters that have gone out to our attorney and you know, our investment banker and things like that. So. You know, that stuff has been, you know, sent out. So, and I would expect that, you know, we'll get things filed in a timely fashion this year. Not have the delay that we've had this year.
You're saying that there really aren't any changes in here?
No, number wise, there's not.
Days,
yeah, there's. Yeah, there's not been a single change to any of the numbers. It all ties out. So just some. Some small clerical stuff, so, and they pulled draft off of it, so that's the big shift. So.
Well, I didn't have any problem digesting most of it when we met with, I forget who it was, Kurt?
Yeah.
And that seemed to be educational, but there weren't any real scary or bothersome things that were discovered. So I guess if we're comfortable with what information we have, we could approve the audit or make a motion and see how the vote shakes out.
Do
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the audit. Are there any other questions or discussion? Not those in favor, say aye. The audit's approved. Our next item is approval of credentialing, and I don't know if we have any credentials to approve.
Yes.
So no new up for appointment, but reappointment. Dr. Elise Williams and Dr. Oleg Ivanov. And Dr. Williams is a family physician on staff here, and Dr. Ivanov is a cardiologist in Casper who sees patients here. Any issues with the medical staff on these two credentials? So we would entertain a motion to approve credentialing.
I'll make a motion to approve the reappointment credentialing for Dr. Williams and Dr. Ivanov.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye. Those are approved. Before we entertain a motion for executive, I have a question that I guess would be new business, and that is the Wyoming legislature mandating officer training for elected boards of special districts, and I don't know if we've talked about this in this group. I know it's been an issue with the rural health care district, and I think it pertains as well. It's a little bit unclear to me exactly who qualifies as a public officer. There's a flow chart, and it describes various levels of involvement and asks the question, are you an elected member of a special district, and do you have access to finances, and are you making decisions that pertain to those? To the best of my knowledge, the chairman and the treasurer of a special district would be those who meet all of the yes criteria. And by state statute, need to undergo training between now and the 24th of July of 2024, or sometime near then. There have been a flurry of training sessions offered, one in KC, one in Claremont, which is this Saturday that I'm going to be attending. So it's a little bit of a burden to ask people who are volunteering to work on a board to have to give up a day to go sit through a lot of rules and regulations. But that might in some way reflect your responsibility as treasurer, Tom. I don't know that anyone else would be, and I'll know more about that Saturday. And another question I have for whoever's presenting is, did the legislators go through public officer training? Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. This was their idea, but have you heard anything about this?
No, I haven't.
I mean, in theory, it makes sense, but to make it that lengthy, I'm not sure that is a good value. But I'll be going Saturday. I can't wait to spend the whole day in Claremont. And I'll let you know what I find out.
I'd be curious curious about, like, the web-based stuff. I mean, remember, was it a year ago we did that web-based training? And some of that was not only fiduciary, but maybe financial and what our duties as a board were. Mm-hmm. And what if that would, you might mention that. I mean, we all did that a year ago. I don't know.
Well, and there are certain professions that qualify for an exemption. And so... Well, you would think.
Nope.
I know. If you're an accountant, I think that does, but that may apply to this board, and we'll have a full report at the next meeting. So I think there is an item for executive session if we could entertain a motion to go into that.
Second.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.